Welcome to this edition of Book Spectrum. I'm your host, Chris Cordani. This is where we talk with writers who are not necessarily seasoned authors, but they come from varied other professions, perhaps across the spectrum. With me is an artist, a sculptor, who has dedicated much of his life's work to honoring those who served to protect our nation and freedom around the world. He has created monuments, he has created statues, and now has a book describing a major battle from the Vietnam War. He's actually written books centering around the Vietnam War in the past. This one features stories from soldiers who were there. This book is called Swift Sword, The True Story of the Marines of Mike 3-5 in Vietnam for September 1967. Welcome to Book Spectrum, Doyle Glass.
Thank you, Chris. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here, too. What inspired you to tell the story of this particular battle in a book today?
I was inspired back in 2007 by The Greatest Generation and what I saw with Saving Private Ryan, Band of Brothers. And I wanted to do something along those same lines for the men who served in the Vietnam War, who are often the sons of The Greatest Generation. And I wanted to tell a specific story, a real time combat story to show the heroism, the fear, the terror, the gallantry of a battle that was not known. Swift Sword, September 4th, 1967, was the first day of Operation Swift in the Khe Sanh Valley of South Vietnam. And it was a harrowing small arms combat battle that produced two Medal of Honor recipients, a score of Navy Cross recipients, Silver Star. It showed the best of our veterans, the best of our Vietnam veterans, and the best of our American soldiers. And once I found out about that particular battle on that one day, I knew I had to write about it.
How did you find out about it?
The internet, Google.
Oh, there we go. That usually helps.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fascinating because in schools, you don't read a lot about the individual battles of most of these wars. You hear about maybe some of the big ones of the Revolutionary War, maybe World War II, the Civil War. You don't hear a lot about the Vietnam War.
And part of that reason is the political atmosphere following the Vietnam War. The veterans were not treated, in my opinion, like they should have. And that's part of my mission, is to honor them as they are in their 70s or older or passed away. And a lot of the engagements were simply smaller. They were not on the scale of a Battle of the Bulge or of a Gettysburg or of the Normandy invasion. And Operation Swift, which was a two-week operation that involved fully the loss of over 100 servicemen, the first day of that battle was small scale, but just as ferocious as Iwo Jima, as I mentioned, Normandy, or the Battle of the Bulge. So part of that reason is the scale, and once again, the political atmosphere.
Let's get to that political atmosphere. This is a war when soldiers came home and, from many accounts, were treated as enemies and oppressors rather than people who were defending others. I remember watching an old commercial about veterans who weren't treated well. One stuck in my mind, and it was, again, from decades ago, but one stuck in my mind with a veteran saying that he was spat upon by some people and yelled at when he came home, never heralded as a hero. What people don't realize is, despite what any thought leaders of the 60s and early 70s may have thought about the war at the time, soldiers in Vietnam were really fighting to help and protect people who were unable to fight for themselves. And that's never put in perspective.
That's correct. That's exactly correct. The true story has never been told. An example, one of the Medal of Honor recipients, a kid named Larry Peters, who was just 20 and from New York. His first tour of duty, he worked at an orphanage in Da Nang, helping out these children. And that's one of the main reasons he went back for a second tour, was to help out the people. He loved the people and he loved taking care of those kids. But of course, they needed sergeants on the front line, and he was the first to volunteer to go fight. So Father Vincent Capodanno, the other Medal of Honor recipient, also from New York, a Catholic priest who wasn't supposed to be on that battlefield. They're supposed to be back in the rear with the gear, but he had to be with his Marines and Navy corpsmen and lost his life trying to save lives and saving souls while the entire company is being attacked by scores of veteran North Vietnamese troops. So these stories of heroism are simply not told, and I felt it was my mission to tell it.
The unsung heroes or the unsung protectors of others, if you will.
Absolutely.
The book I'm talking about is Swift Sword, The True Story of the Marines of Mike 3-5 in Vietnam, 4 September 1967. Author Doyle Glass is with me on Book Spectrum. I'm Chris Cordani, the host. Doyle, how did you find the Marines, track them down, if you will, who were there and got them to tell their stories?
For Swift Sword, I met a lot of them through the Marines that I met with my first book, Lions of Medina, and simply reached out so that I had veracity to them. They would look at the prior book and saw that I was trying to tell their story correctly. And I simply said, would you be willing to have me interview you and to record the interview? Now, a lot of the veterans or some of the veterans were not comfortable. A lot of them suffered from post-traumatic stress syndrome, and remembering these terrifying events was too much. And I tried to be very respectful of that and only speak to those veterans who wanted to tell their story. And once I spoke with the commander on the ground, Lieutenant J.D. Murray, a Navy Cross recipient who still is pretty much the leader of the group. Once I interviewed him, then things just kind of fell into place with who to contact, whose email, and then I would sit down, schedule a time, and I would record their interview.
Doyle, when talking to these fine soldiers, I understand there was a false account in there. How did you kind of figure out what was going on, figure out which was right and which was wrong? How was the fact-checking, or let's just say the vetting of the stories?
That's very difficult to do.
Yeah.
And when someone tells their story in this, specifically this kind of environment, you default to what they're telling you because they were there. So what I had to simply do was rely on the other veterans with regard to this specific account and to truly spend a lot of time vetting with a number of these individuals. Was this account true? If not, why? And then simply trust the weight of numbers with the veterans who were there. And once again, that's a very difficult, but when you've got the men telling you what happened, you have to go with that. And that's what I did.
Doyle Glass is with me on Book Spectrum, the book Swift Sword, The True Story of the Marines of Mike 3-5 in Vietnam, 4 September 1967. I do need to point out to the listeners of Book Spectrum here, this is the second edition of the book. What are some differences between this one and the first edition?
That's a great question. It's an awesome question. When the first book came out, I had a lot going on with my life. My wife at the time was fighting terminal cancer. So trying to write a book like this was difficult. The first book came out in 2014, and in many ways, I put that chapter behind me, felt good about it. Then as I'm working on a further book, I have another book that's in the works now. The thought came, we need to resurrect your two prior books because they're great and people need to know about them. And changes with Amazon KDP and Access was part of that. So I read the first sentence of the first edition of Swift Sword, and I immediately came away, something is missing. It's not there. What is missing? And it's one of those things that it's so obvious that it's not obvious. And the missing element were the voices of the Marines themselves and the Navy corpsmen. I have access to all of the interviews, and I said to myself, that's the missing piece. I'm telling their story. I wasn't there. They have to tell their story. So the narrative that existed in 2014 when it was first published, I simply incorporated the voices of the men that were there, the terror, the spirituality, the camaraderie, the men from different parts of the country, different backgrounds. You can feel all of that with their quotes, and it made literally all the difference in the world to bringing this story alive. Not that it wasn't alive in 2014, but now it's truly alive. And what was remarkable to me in a bad way is that a lot of the guys that I interviewed back in 2008 have passed away. And a lot of that is cancer related from Agent Orange exposure. And that was more of a reason for me to get this story out in their own words. That's the key, their own words.
We talked a little bit about how these soldiers were received when they came home and even years beyond. The thanks they got was, again, being treated like enemies, being treated not as kindly as a lot of other soldiers coming home. We have a serious problem with veterans of the Vietnam War suffering from illnesses or post-traumatic stress syndrome that they accumulated during the war. I mean, accumulated is not a great word, but you understand where I'm going, where they contracted or were wound up with during and after the war. There are also too large of a number of a homeless problem here, a huge homeless veteran problem. Many of them are also Vietnam vets. How can our listeners try to help veterans of the Vietnam War who are either suffering from some kind of sickness, cancer, or obviously PTSD, or even homelessness?
Well, the first thing is knowledge. I'd say the majority of the people today, my kids, don't know much about Vietnam at all. I mean, I don't know if many people can still find it on a map. So the first thing is learning. My wife and I watched the entire Ken Burns documentary on the Vietnam War, and it was very well done, just showing the larger picture. Picking up Swift Sword or Lions of Medina and just reading a snapshot of what some of these men went through, that's the first thing, to know what they went through in Vietnam, and then to learn what the reception was like at home and to not whitewash that. It was not overall good in many, many ways. And to realize that, and then to honor them and said, PTSD, it's a real thing. Agent Orange, it's a real thing, and the cancer related from that. So with regard to the homeless problem, I would start with the knowledge and then do what we can to help them and get them off the streets, get them associated with different veterans organizations like the Vietnam Veterans Association to help them and to honor them. A lot of these guys are in their mid-70s and older, so they're in their later stages of life. Anything we can do to give them that belated honor and help, we should do.
Doyle Glass is with me. He's the author of the book Swift Sword, The True Story of the Marines of Mike 3-5 in Vietnam for September 1967. You've written a couple of other books on Vietnam. For this one, and I suppose for the others as well, correct me if I'm wrong, you visited the country to do some research.
I did. Actually, I certainly did. I had the honor in 2009 to go back to Vietnam with the veterans of Operation Swift, the men from Swift Sword. And not only did we tour the country, but we went on a trek in the Khe Sanh Valley through rice paddies, through villages. And the people, especially in the countryside of Vietnam, were incredibly friendly. Just a wonderful experience. And we were able, with the help of a former NVA colonel who was on the other side during this particular battle, who's now a friend of these guys, we found the battlefield. We found the knoll of Operation Swift. And it was a surreal spiritual experience to watch these men and to watch them pray. It was incredible for me to watch. Of course, I can't have any kind of knowledge of what they went through, but it was an incredible honor. Several of those guys who I went to Vietnam with have passed away. So to have that opportunity, it was great to go, and it was incredible to go.
Did you manage to, or did you find a French plantation over there when you were in Vietnam?
Interestingly enough, not specifically, but the French influence, especially in South Vietnam, is real. The coffee, the French press Vietnamese coffee, is incredible, and it's never been replicated. I've tried to find it in the States, and it's just not the same. So not a plantation, but the French influence, especially in the South, is pretty distinct.
What were the attitudes of the people towards you and possibly Americans, I guess, in general, or at least did you, were you able to feel that out when you were in South Vietnam, or actually Vietnam at the time?
We flew into Hanoi, North Vietnam, during the war. And I was a little apprehensive at first, that being a communist country, the whole country's communist, and a little wary of the attitude. In the North, they were a little more reserved. But once we started going and seeing different places, and especially moving south, the people were incredible, incredibly friendly, incredibly open. Like I said, especially in the countryside, when we were searching for the Swift battlefield, the friendly faces, an incredible, good experience. And I felt no negative feeling from the people when I was there. And in fact, talking to the NVA colonel, who was a great gentleman as well, he said, you know, after the Americans left, we had to fight the Chinese. So we've been basically trying to get people out of our country. So not getting into the politics of it, but it was a very enlightening and good experience.
When you did the research for the book, which of course includes your visit, what was the most significant or maybe impactful moment?
Oh, wow. There are so many. I would say the instant heroism when, not giving away too much of the book, but there was an ambush. Basically, the Marines walked into an ambush, and the training of these fine Marines and the nearly instantaneous heroism that they exhibited was extremely impactful. The spiritual element of it, Father Capodanno, there's one Marine, Carlton Clark, who literally had a spiritual vision on the battlefield while the combat was going on. I would say those are the most impactful with regard to the battle. And the second most impactful thing, and it's probably just as equal, was the getting to know these guys, knowing their story, what they went through, what they have gone through since returning back home. The friendships I have made, I will always, always value. So I would say those are the two most impactful things.
On the other side of that scale, there are always some difficult stories if you're trying to pull in some accounts and do some research and find out what really happened in during these battles and the innermost thoughts of the soldiers and possibly even those they were fighting, or at least what they might have been thinking about. Maybe, can you share maybe one of the more difficult stories or portions of the book you really had to put in there?
A lot of the guys, and we're talking 18, 19, 20-year-old kids who a few months before were in high school or, in driving around in their jalopy, and to put them into this extreme combat, it's obviously an incredible amount of pressure. So a lot of the guys felt a lot of rage, say right after the battle, and wanting to kill any Vietnamese that they saw because their buddy's dead. That's difficult to write about. It's true. And their ability to not follow through with that, to control themselves, is admirable. But that psychological pressure that we put these young men through when we put them in this kind of situation, that's difficult to write about. There are also situations where there's fear. You take a young Marine once again and put him in this kind of situation, and they don't do their duty. They might run away, or they might cower for cover. I would probably do the same thing. But it's so easy for us to, in an armchair, to judge that. And it's difficult to write about, but it needs to be written about that, you know, we're not there, we're not in that situation, and this is the kind of thing that happens. Hopefully that answers your question.
Looking back from the cushion of 2023 and seeing what transpired around the Vietnam War, whether it be there or at home, and same thing with World War II, there seemed to have been a glory and a rah-rah and a lot of other things surrounding World War II. And perhaps maybe more experienced and volunteer soldiers, that was probably in effect as well. But there also seemed to be an era where the veterans of that war were cared about. The country found a way to get them back to work. There was an era of prosperity after that. As far as the Vietnam War is concerned, again, we talked about how the soldiers were received by the regular people and how they were covered by the media. It was, if you look back at some of that, the entertainers of the world were always speaking out against the war, and that frustration was taken out on the soldiers. Afterwards, we talked, and again, we touched on this earlier here. We see soldiers suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome. Yes, the GI Bill was there, but it seems to be, and again, you might know more, you definitely will know more about this than I would, but it seems to be that care, that guidance, and the obvious fact that there was really no prosperity after that came after the war, it was not the same as World War II. It just seemed like they dumped these young people off who were anywhere between, as you said, 19 and 23, and said, all right, war's over, your tour's done, fend for yourselves.
Right. And that attitude even was prevalent during the war itself by the officials that were running it. For example, the new M16 rifle that these Marines were issued malfunctioned to an incredible extent. It would jam up, and that cost thousands of lives. On September the 4th, it probably cost countless lives. And the officials, the powers that be, blamed the young Marines and soldiers for not cleaning their weapon, when in fact it was a total manufacturer's problem and error that was not fixed until later. The second issue that happened in Vietnam is that these guys were asked to take territory time and again, the same territory. They would take a hill and then be ordered off the hill. The North Vietnamese would take it. They'd go back. In World War II, when you took a piece of territory, you kept it. And the island hopping on Iwo Jima. So we also had the issue in Vietnam of the new replacements. You would have a new guy come in to a veteran unit, and he was ostracized because he was likely to do something to get somebody killed. That replacement policy didn't exist in World War II. So you had the things going on during the conflict that were bad for the soldiers and Marines fighting. And then when they came home, a lot of these guys, you know, would grow their hair out and not wear their uniform because they would be spat on or told to leave a bar, or because of the climate, which I still find kind of hard to believe, but that was the case. So there were a number of knocks against those who fought in Vietnam, both during the conflict and later. And for me, it's, you know, let's rectify it. The time is way past. Let's do it now.
Doyle, you have focused on Vietnam in books before. When doing so, including this book, what do you want readers to come out with the most after reading?
That these guys were doing their duty for their country, that they were doing what they thought was the right thing, that many of them still believe they were doing the right thing. They were doing what their country asked them to do, laying their lives on the line. They were doing the same thing that their fathers who fought in World War II did, and those who fought in Korea, because during the Cold War, the threat of communism was a real thing. You know, even today, we see the issue, the trouble in the Ukraine, I mean, and with communist China. So the threat was a real threat. And these young men were doing what their elders and their country asked them to do, and they did it.
Doyle Glass, I want to thank you very much for being with us here on Book Spectrum once again. The title of the book is Swift Sword, The True Story of the Marines of Mike 3-5 in Vietnam for September 1967. Check it out. Where can our listeners find the book and more about you?
Website, www.doyleglass.com. And please become a subscriber to our newsletter, because one of the things that we do is try to tell story of heroes of all shapes and sizes on a regular basis. So also on Facebook, Doyle Glass Author. Please follow us there.
Doyle, thank you very much for being with us. Again, I'm Chris Cordani. This is Book Spectrum, where we talk with authors across the spectrum. I want to thank you for being with us, and thank you for listening.